You're listening to the Nuff Said podcast, real strategies for customer success.
Hey everyone, Chris and Nick here, co-founders at Nuff Said. And today on the Nuff Said podcast, we asked Kalina from Asana, how do customer success and customer advocacy work together?
So what we learned is that advocacy is not about NPS or case studies. It's actually a separate team outside of marketing and CS. And the whole goal is to give customer advocates a voice within your company and with your executives, as well as with their peers. So that's the TLDR. Let's dive in.
Well, thanks for having me. My name is Kalina Bryant. I currently head customer advocacy at Asana. And also I'm the co-founder of Unapologetic. And I, in my past, worked for Anaplan, Signified, and Talkdesk, running customer marketing and advocacy.
So you have a very interesting title at Asana. So your title is that you're the global head of customer advocacy, CX, and executive programs at Asana, which sounds like an enormous job. Can we just kind of break that down into what each of those components mean? So, you know, what does it mean to run advocacy, CX, and executive programs? And in other words, what are you accountable for and what type of impact do you have on the business?
So when you think about customer advocacy, we're the heart of creating a culture for our employees and also making sure that our customers feel valued and have all the necessary tools for them to be successful with our product. So when we take our customer advocacy hat, we're really pulling out our advocates, right? And what I mean by advocates is individuals that not just love and can thrive off of the product at Asana, but people that want to rave about it. And so with customer advocacy, you're very creative, right? So I work very closely with our sales org. I work very closely with CS and marketing to make sure that we can create experiences where our customers want to be engaged with us and want to go a little bit deeper with us. So when we get to customer experiences and our programs, think about roundtables, think about customer meetups, think about executive briefing centers. All of these programs are designed to touch our top tier customers. So we're thinking about vice presidents and above that are actually our decision makers within that company. And we're trying to figure out how to organically build a relationship with them and understand their needs for them to want to engage a little bit more with Asana and actually fully utilize our product.
So I think the customer advocacy piece, that's clear. So you're identifying interesting people, customers who are interested in being advocates, who are sharing kind of the love about Asana. How does that play into CX?
So for me, as a customer advocacy leader, I play an important role of working cross-functionally, right, with our communications. So I make sure our leaders in CS have an opportunity to outline their resources and needs, but also I have an opportunity to work cross-functionally with marketing to showcase the priorities, to really showcase what our customers are looking for, and to give perspectives on both ends. You probably know this, customer success and marketing, we are all touching the same customers, but sometimes there's a gap between communication within us. So think of customer advocacy as providing that customer experience to our customers, but at the same time, closing the gap between multiple departments that are trying to ultimately achieve the same thing, which is making sure our customers are happy. So when I think about customer experience, I think about actually doing the work, understanding the needs from all of our key departments that are touching our customers and really bringing that together and making sure that when we package anything up to our customers, you can see that there's no gap in communication. You can see that we are intersected together in a positive way and making sure that number one, our customers are top of mind, right? On our end, empathy is the biggest thing when we think about our customers. We don't do anything without thinking about the customer first. So when I think about customer experience, it's really closing communication gaps and making sure that we give the best possible experience to our customers.
Let's double click on that. You talk about packaging up customer feedback. Is that what the executive program means? Or what is the executive program?
I would take a step back. So when you think about executive programming, that's a hat all by itself. So that can include multiple things. When we're thinking about feedback, each executive program that we build, we want to think about what's going to be helpful for our customers in terms of our product, right? So customer feedback, product feedback, that's one of the things that actually makes our product roadmap and actually makes our company spin, right? So if we select the the best customers and also the executives that are going to give us hardcore feedback, that puts us in a really good position to make sure that we're thriving and also making sure our customers are committed to us long term. And so when we're thinking about executive programming, you do have executive sponsorship. I would say that that's more beneficial to our sales organization when they're trying to go deeper in expansion opportunities, go deeper into new business. A lot of the times they're trying to figure out who's the best executive to build that relationship organically. That's where you leverage our executive sponsorship program. We make sure that that's very natural, understanding the needs of that product, understanding the needs of that customer, and really trying to figure out how to get them to go forward with us. That's how we plug in the best customer executive on our end. But I would say, going back to your question about customer feedback and going back to product feedback, that's where your councils come in. That's where your roundtables come in, because we're allowing an open space for our customers to network, to be authentic and real with us, but also to provide us real feedback that we cannot just take back and not do anything with, but actually take it and say, hey, this is what our customers are looking for. And within a few months or so, our customers are very satisfied because they obviously were heard, but also they see results.
This is interesting because it sounds like your role touches product, sales, marketing, success, like every part of the company. So I have two questions. Where does this role live in your company? And if you're going to wave a magic wand, start it all over again, and you were a listener on the podcast and you wanted to stand something like this up, where would you recommend having it live?
That's an interesting one, right? You know, at Asana, I don't think it really matters where you sit, to be honest. Your main goal is to make an impact on your customers. So if you think about it, every department is actually trying to accomplish the same thing, which is satisfaction within your customer base. But on my end, I sit under revenue or business org under customer success, which is actually quite nice because I work very closely with our head of sales, our chief revenue officer, and really understand the goals and how we want to go as a company, but also what we need to do with our customers. But I've sat in marketing, I've sat in customer success, sat in revenue. I think the main thing is making sure that you have an executive sponsor within the organization that's going to believe in customer advocacy and also give you the resources to be successful in advocacy. So wherever you're going to find that executive sponsor that understands why building a customer advisory board is so important, right? Or why it's important to have a gifting program. Many organizations don't understand that until their customers start churning. But we have a belief of understanding our customers in advance and making sure that we can provide not just a product, but a connection for them. We always focus on empathy and making sure our customers are top of mind. So I would go back to just saying, look at the work and look at the resources that the company that you're going for is willing to provide you.
So every year, Asana releases an anatomy of work index that studies something like 13,000 knowledge workers around the world. Can you share with us what you learned from that?
So when I first joined, actually, this will be 1 year for me at Asana this month. It's been a fun ride. But when I first started, I had this vision and this layout of building customer engaging programs in person, right? The pandemic wasn't supposed to take this long. We were supposed to be at some point having these really nice happy hours and a full-on customer experience and this, like, you know, these layouts where Asana has a new office. We were supposed to go and have like very nice executive engagements and having top-tier experiences, rooftops, you name it. We can't have that. And so I would say at the time that I started at Asana, we also launched the Anatomy of Work Index. And that was actually something very interesting to me because I wanted to kick off our executive dinners. And so thinking about the time that we were in and how to still engage our customers, I wanted to figure out how to do something remote. So that's how we kicked off our virtual roundtables. But the biggest thing was, well, what's going to bring key customers who were at senior levels into another Zoom meeting, to be clear, after hours for an hour and a half talking, you know, after being in millions of meetings all day. And so with that, I really started thinking about, okay, what's going to be engaging for them? What's going to be something that they actually take their pens out and want to take notes on? And also, how can I provide them with experiences where they're still networking as if they were at happy hours, but still over Zoom? And how can they find value? So I actually teamed up with our marketing organization and really dove into the anatomy of work. So we were at that time figuring out all sorts of things. So, you know, I'll just share some stuff. So We have about 60% of the time was spent on work about work. And I was guilty of this as well. So really doing all of the meetings and, you know, going back and forth, and it was taking longer to actually produce actual programs. So I was wondering if I was feeling this way, were other customers feeling this way? And then also the amount of burnout, right? We don't really talk about how many more hours that we're putting into work now because we're not going into office. We're completely just waking up, getting our laptops and just going head on. And so some of the things that I actually noticed was 7 in 10 US knowledge workers worldwide are experiencing burnout. And the distributed work is delaying deadlines, which is impactful, right? Because work about work causes employees to miss out on one quarter of their deadlines. And so ultimately, there were more meetings, there were duplicate work, there were rising workloads, and employees were just unheard. And so I took all of that information and really teamed up with our cross-functional teams, sales, customer success, marketing, and packaged that information up and started inviting some of our executives within our customer base saying, are you feeling this way? If you are, come network with us over wine and really have an experience to talk about how you feel about the burnout, talk about your employees. And also, as we started doing the roundtables, we found that people wanted to talk more about the return to office, hybrid models, all of the questions that basically people were afraid to discuss, you know, saying, well, are you returning to office? Or also when thinking about diversity and inclusion, you know, many of our senior leaders actually had that stressor of, are my employees going to stay? They are feeling burnt out. There's companies that are saying you never have to return back to office. And then there's companies saying, hey, we have a hybrid model, or hey, you have to return right away. That stress that was on some of our customer base was, of course, weighing on them, which ultimately was weighing on where they wanted to go long term with their organization and also priorities, right? So when I think about our roundtables, that was a big pivot point for us because of some of the information that we had with our anatomy of work. We were able to dive in, show this information to our customers in advance, and allow them to meet with other executives. And also we would kick off fireside chats. So we always had one of our company planning senior leaders on the roundtable to kick off on a fireside chat with another guest. So in this case, we've had engagements with our COO of LinkedIn, coming in really talking about what is operations and sales look like from a leadership perspective. How do you still lead in a positive way with your organization without understanding what's going to be within a month or so? And I would say that that was very helpful. It's something that it was trial and error, which with customer advocacy, if you're going to be in this department and you want everything by the books or, you know, actual playbook, you're actually designing the playbook when you're in customer advocacy. And the bigger the organization, you have to understand how to maneuver and make sure that you're presenting something that's beneficial to the company, but ultimately beneficial to your customers. So I would say that roundtable playbook started off with a pilot. We're going to just do one roundtable. We were going to leverage all of our data points from the anatomy of work. And one roundtable turned into a monthly series. We're on our fifth roundtable right now, showcasing 100% attendance rate, showcasing individuals wanting more, and also showcasing a few expansion opportunities in there. I've had a few champions that have attended the roundtable, and within 2 to 3 weeks, we've had some really nice expansion opportunities pop in there. So I would say that it is something that you have to trust your gut, you have to do your research, and you have to understand and actually put yourself, I think, in the customer's shoes. I know personally for me, I get invited to a lot of roundtables, and if it's not a juicy topic, I'm not going to give you another hour of my day on Zoom. And so I asked myself that. I said, well, Queen, if you read this invitation, you know, what's going to get you? And first off, I started off with like having wine being sent to your house in advance. So first off, that makes you obligated to want to attend because you have a beautiful box of wine that says don't open until the event. So it's just sitting in your, you know, house for 24 hours. So then you show up, and then you also find out that there's other smart individuals that you've been wanting to talk to for quite some time. And then there's also executive having a fireside chat, giving you real talk on what he's struggling with and how he's going about things. So you're actually learning and getting information that you wouldn't be able to get anywhere else. So it becomes more of an experience where you actually are thrilled to get that invitation.
Elena, if you were going to leave Asana completely hypothetically.
Oh boy, don't get me in trouble.
But this is, if you were going to go to a company that didn't have advocacy, would you rerun this playbook where you're doing roundtables as the first program that you set up? Or is there something that's a lower lift that you've learned that could also be equally successful just to start to dip your toes in as you're building out advocacy at a new company?
To be honest with you, I'd love to partner with Asana and package it up and sell it as, you know, a way to be successful with customer advocacy, regardless of what model you're in. So let's just say how to provide customer experience in a hybrid model, despite the change, right? Because I think that regardless of when COVID has lifted, we're never going to go back to where we were before, right? It's never going to be the same. And so what we were able to create at Asana in customer advocacy was so organic, but at the same time, so beneficial, because even when we're back in person, my roundtables turn back into in-person experience, you know, but if we are now 1 year or 2 years or whatever off from going back to in-person, my roundtables are still amazing for the customers and beneficial for our customers to feel heard, to gain knowledge, and also to connect. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that we work on here at Asana. And when building that methodology, I want to make sure that you're not just sitting in a room bored, right? So I really think about what's going to connect you and actually get your intellectual juices going. If I was to go anywhere else, right, I would actually challenge them and actually understand their values. That's one big thing at Asana that I think about. It was the culture values, right? You probably see this all the time. There's companies messaging you every day, asking you to build customer advocacy. The amount of jobs that I turn down is ridiculous, but it's not about just hopping, right? It's about the foundation of the company. It's about the culture values of the company. And those culture values turn into how your customers ultimately feel, which ultimately turns into how successful I am within customer advocacy. And so with Asana wanting to make sure that empathy is put top of mind, that allows me to be empathetic and design very organic, impactful programs, which is how we got to the roundtables. I'm pretty sure if I went to another big company that was just about, hey, I need to hit these numbers at a certain time and not actually thinking about the customer, I'm not sure the roundtables would even be live the way they are now. So I hope that answers your question. You know, like, hey, if you want to pay me to roll out a roundtable experience platform for you, we can talk about that. But it's something that's needed, but also it's something that's needed if you're with the right company and the right leaders.
And that's it for this week's episode of Nuff Said. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, head over to your podcast platform of choice and make sure you're subscribed. And tune in next week for more real customer success strategies. Nuff Said.